previously on Powerful.
Sup nerds, welcome to...
This is gonna go great.
The other announcement is Prog Power 2018.
I think all of us were planning on going next year.
We are here in the IRL physical studio right after day one of Prog Power USA.
Hey, I'm John Yelland, the singer of Judicator, and I'm thrilled to be here.
This is Tony, I'm the guitar player, and also thank you guys for having us on here.
My name is Andreas, Andrew in English, I guess.
I'm Alvin, I play the rhythm guitar.
How's it going, everybody? This is Jason Ashcraft from Helium Prime.
Hey guys, this is Joseph Michael, I'm the lead vocalist of Helium Prime.
I'm Hansi Kusch, vocalist of Blind Guardian.
This will be the end of season one of Power, because now we have seasons.
Stay powerful.
Stay raw powerful, guys.
Nerds, welcome to episode 15 of Powerful, a power metal podcast.
Season
this
2!
Is Four Gates. Okay, yeah, season 2, that's right. We have seasons, because we're cool like that. This is Four Gates, back with another episode, and here I will introduce people, because I totally forgot how. God, it's been like a month. So,
it's been so
I have
long.
Here with my friends, in our sauna slash studio, Larry Biscuit.
Hello.
Zelda fan 355.
Good to be back.
And we also have our audio wizard, Darko.
Hello, everyone.
And wait, who's that?
It's coming down the mountainside. It's turning the tide.
I have nothing to do with this.
It's the Wing 2 song. It's Dawn. Welcome,
Dawn. It's Dawn.
Hey, what's up?
Don is our brand new
Don
favorite
is our Polish,
friend.
And yeah, and he's joining us, and that was totally not racist at all.
Yeah,
that was so bad.
This is the worst idea we've ever had for an intro.
That was a great bit on paper. It didn't translate well.
I don't know what you guys are going
in.
For.
We're keeping it in. Don't edit that out. No, that was
no.
So
we're keeping
bad.
That in. We have to keep
yeah,
that
we're
in.
Keeping that in.
Yeah, that's pure distilled powerful.
Yeah, as powerful as all of the synths in Sabaton, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
We're like 5 minutes into the new season. We're already shitting on Sabaton.
We're not shitting on them. It's
pure,
it's
distilled, powerful.
We're laughing with them.
It's a statement. It's
laughing
a statement.
With them, okay.
It's a neutral statement. Like, the sky is blue. Sabaton has synths. It's a statement. Anyway, enough of that. Today we are going to talk about music for your mood. What does that even mean? So we are power metal
that sounds
fans.
Like a really nebulous thing.
No, it, yes.
Like you just made it up.
No, yes. Yeah, it is nebulous. So we are power metal fans, obviously. So I just want to know from our friends here in our sauna studio, do you listen to all power metal all the time? Or do you pick music depending on your mood like a normal human being?
Wait, but before we do that, we have news to discuss. Things are happening in the world.
Things are happening? What's happening?
You remember Roy Khan, that dude that sung for Camelot, like, once upon a time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's overrated.
You remember, like, how he had, like, a... like, he got, like, super Jesus-y. He like,
yeah,
pulled a Michael Kiske.
Yeah.
A Michelle Kiske. And stopped doing metal. Forever.
What's he up to now? Since you guys are like friends, apparently.
Yeah, well, he's back in metal now. It was forever TM.
Okay.
Conception, his original thing. We talked about it forever ago. This was a fake news that wasn't fake. Conception's back. They gave us a date. The album's called Reconception.
Brilliant.
It's out.
That's really creative.
Is that in February? Is that in
no,
November?
It's,
I don't know.
The date is in European or
okay.
international format.
It's so it's out November 2nd.
Normal format. Yeah, it's
November
2nd.
That's
going to
be like when this episode comes out.
Yeah, that's like next week.
Yeah. So when this episode comes out, fans of Prague slash Roy Khan, check out Conception.
Reconception.
Reconception, my bad.
Reconception.
Oh, that's what the album's called.
Yeah. And the art is really weird.
It's super weird album art. I'm looking at it right now. They've got like a giant dead baby with like some praying mantises, and there's a dude
and the mantises
with
have crowns
with a hat, and then there's like a giant head.
Yeah, you have the queen and the king. We have the two crowns.
Oh shit! You're right. I didn't see the crowns.
And they're feeding the baby something.
I just saw the giant heads, and that's like the Parallel Minds album cover. So I thought maybe Conception likes giant heads.
Yeah, but what's the deal with the baby and the dude?
It's a reconception. What do you know? What happens at conception? You create babies.
You have sex, and baby is made.
And there are praying mantises.
Right? When a praying mantis has sex with another one, the female eats the head of the male and kills it.
Oh,
according
oh my God,
to
that
the
makes
internet.
So much sense now.
I don't know if that's real because I didn't check it, but I just remember that factoid.
Praying mantis biologists confirm.
Do you guys think this could be like a metaphor for like rebirth or something? It's like, because it's got like the old man and then
the
like
baby.
Weird shit happens and then he's a baby. It's a reconception.
Yeah,
it's like the new Kojima game, but power metal.
It's actually not power metal at all.
We need Death Stranding power metal. Let's do
maybe
it.
Maybe not progressive power metal. Who knows what bands are making? It's prog. It's not power metal.
They don't advertise it.
Why is this even on our news? Let's move on.
I don't know. It's got Roy Khan.
We talked about this before.
It's an update.
A crowdfunding.
Okay. Oh, it's an update.
And everything.
Okay. So let's talk about, can we find power metal here even? Next, we're going to talk about Darkmoor.
Darkmoor's power metal.
It was.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah.
What are they up to now?
They're playing they're a Flogging Molly cover band now.
Oh, is that so?
Basically.
Are you talking about the new single?
Yeah. It's basically a Flogging Molly song.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it Flogging Molly, but it's definitely hard rock. Folk rock even.
It's a good old Boston band now, except they're from Spain.
Do you think their whole album will be like that?
I hope so.
That's interesting.
Definitely will.
I haven't listened to their new stuff, and I feel like I'm missing out at this point.
It wasn't bad. It just wasn't Darkmoor.
And it's weird because they said they're going back to their roots. And
the roots?
They're releasing
that's
this.
Not the roots.
That's what they said, though. I don't know.
I was like, are they going to release another, like, Hall of Olden Dreams? Like, no.
Gates of Oblivion? Like, those two. those two are just,
those are the roots.
Delicious.
Yeah. All right. So that's happening. If you want to, you can contribute to their crowdfunding, I guess.
Yeah, they are
it's
launching
on pledgemusic.com/project/Darkmoor. You can pre-order their new album called Origins. They've got an ultimate fan package for €80. That's
what?
About $90.
What's the ultimate fan package?
View details. It's got shipping included. Get the new Darkmoor album Origins signed by all the members of the band, plus our exclusive Darkmoor 20th anniversary live in Madrid CD, plus the exclusive Origins T-shirt/girly version, plus a signed band photo card, plus the Origins digital download. My God.
Whoa.
That's a lot of stuff.
All for 60 euros?
You have a really good advertising voice.
It says 60 for me.
I see 80.
Darkmoor should hire you.
60 is another lower. It's the buying package.
Ultimate fan package. You're no ultimate fan.
The ultimate fan package is €60.
No,
it's
80.
€80.
It says 60.
This is fake fucking news right here.
Take a screenshot.
And then the ultimate fan Madrid package is €70.
Okay, we're on different pages.
Yeah, what are you?
All right, so we will have this linked in the show notes if you are Darkmoor/Flogging Molly/folk rock fans. Those may or may not have anything to do with each other, but feel free to contribute to this crowdfunding campaign. And yeah.
And it costs somewhere between $60 and $80.
It costs somewhere between $60 and $80. There's a range, just like the genre.
There is one interesting thing that if you scroll down, there's still free slots for people that would like an original song written for them for €1,500.
What the fuck? Yeah.
You can have Darkmoor write a song.
There's three of these left.
Holy shit.
That's
Darkmoor write an original song for you on a topic of your choice. This exclusive song will be recorded in acoustic guitar by Enric Garcia and Alfred Romero voice and will be delivered in digital format.
Oh, can I request something like about turtles?
Yeah, I'm sure
like
you could.
I really like turtles.
Do you have 1,500 euros or 1,712 USD?
That's a lot of money. I'm trying to pay you for a wedding right now.
Would you rather a wedding or a song?
Maybe this could be a wedding gift.
Yeah.
Oh, this could be a wedding gift.
Get everyone at your entire wedding to pitch in for this.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Have them debut the song.
Yeah. Instead of like a honeymoon bin.
Instead of a honeymoon, I'll get a song about turtles written by Darkmoore.
Yeah. And it'll be,
what did you ever want?
It'll be a classic Flogging Molly song about turtles.
Nice. That's very exciting.
Can you request that it be power metal or is that going too far?
Oh God. A power
Ricardo acoustic. Ricardo acoustic guitar, right?
It will be acoustic power flogging turtle.
Acoustic power flogging turtle. Is that the name of this episode?
I hope not. That's a bad name.
I hope not.
I don't know.
It can be. Remember when I counted off earlier and it was 1, 2, 5, 7? That's how I feel right now. Also, I think the heat from this sauna is making me kind of loony.
You know, so you're dealing with a lot of heat with that blanket recorder. You know, it's like you're in hell and you're coming back from hell with love. You know who else is doing that?
Oh,
Beast in Black. Holy shit, indeed. They have a new
Beast
album
and Black's
coming
back.
Out. Yeah.
Beast in Back.
Beat me.
Was that bad or was that awful?
Everything's
I
been
said
bad.
It too, so it's probably
this
bad.
Is all bad. This episode is just bad.
Okay.
This is an amazing episode.
Tell
this is what people
Beast
wanted.
In Black, what are they up to?
Well, they've been like touring nonstop while they're not busy getting like a gazillion views on their YouTube videos. So
yeah.
They've got a sophomore album coming out called From Hell With Love. It's coming out February 8th, 2019.
Sick. How Eurodance-y do you think this one's going
to
be?
You know, that's an interesting question. I'm very curious to see like what direction these guys go in. Are they going to double down on like the dancey synthy stuff? Are they gonna like go like hardcore like berserk shit again? Like, what are they gonna do? This guy's
I hope they keep
the title speaks for itself. The title speaks for itself. It's come from hell with love. This is gonna be super punchy and I'm sure.
Oh my god, that's very exciting.
Nothing says a hell more than dance beats, dude.
Ooh, it could be Eurobeat. Is Eurobeat coming back?
I hope so,
but with more guitars.
We need more Eurobeat. More Eurobeat, please.
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna get some Eurobeat later this episode.
How many Berserk songs?
From Galderia. I know you're listening.
Is he?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
We're friends. Or at least acquaintances. Keep writing that Eurobeat album. Galderia 4, Into the Eurobeat. Return of the Eurobeat men.
This is the Beast in Black section, not the Euro fucking
oh my God,
Galderia
stop.
Section.
Let's go back to Beast in Black. So Beast in Black, we all know, released an album that we have reviewed before. We reviewed their singles and had an idea on those singles. Then we listened to the album. The album was different from the singles. And you can hear that if you go to an older episodes. And now, like, super fast after touring, or I think they are touring now, they are going to release a new album. It has a date, February 8th, 2019. So it's not really far.
Yeah, that's going to be here before we know it.
They are doing stuff.
They're going to have some singles, I bet.
Also, for our European fans, friends, etc., they have a headlining tour next year. Starting in February. End of February, it looks like, is when it starts.
Yeah, they're going to close out this year supporting Nightwish on the European stretch of their Decades tour. And then they're going to be touring around Europe for the beginning of 2019. These guys have been touring like a fuck ton, like all like over Europe and whatnot. I think they're just extremely popular, which is impressive for like, this is the band's first album. Like, yeah, they have like the Battle Beats connection, but even then, like Blind and Frozen has like 10 yeah. million or something fucking views on YouTube. It's insane.
That's really impressive. They definitely like, did something right with that style of music.
They exploded out of the scene.
Yeah.
Would you say this is like the most like successful debut of like any metal band I've seen?
Yes.
No.
I'm not sure about that, but
that's a really big claim.
Yes. from these past 5 years, probably in metal is the biggest debut. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
how about Demon Bitch?
Oh yeah, Demon Bitch.
That shit was insane. Are you kidding me?
How many views does Demon Bitch have on YouTube?
Like does six? That correlate with anything other than a lot of people
liking the thing?
We're talking about explosive debuts.
Like,
okay.
I mean, Beast in Black, have they toured before this European one? I guess they did.
Yeah, they've been touring like nonstop. Demon Bitch's album has 23,000 views.
They played in LA. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but they're from Detroit. They're probably like,
I mean, that's kind of vacation. Far. It's like 6 hour flight. Yo. Okay, anyway, speaking of other bands, shit, there's nothing in common between Beast in Black and Evertail. That was a failed transition. Let's talk about Evertail.
Yeah, because one of them has guitars. Oh, got him.
Anyway. Oh, sick.
Yeah, but the other one has like three songs. Ooh, got him.
Ooh.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah, we are fucking
like Evertail.
Spicy today.
I like Evertail, though. No hard feelings, Evertail.
Anyway, this is hot off the presses. This one's hot. So we were preparing for this episode, and I saw Evertail post that they have a new album being created, an album called The Heartland Must Fall, which is being inspired by a fantasy series by Bernhard Hennen. I can't speak German, but it's
Bernard
the Elfin.
Just say Bernard.
The Elfin.
The Elfin?
The Elfin.
The
Elfin.
It's
the Elves.
Yeah, it's the Elven.
That's brutal. The Elves.
Yeah.
The Elves.
So, Evertail, I am fond of this band. They like doing really, really nerdy fantasy-inspired shit, which seems like they're going to keep going with. Their album is supposed to be released in the second half of 2019. So that's going to be another one to put on the docket for next year.
Yeah, they're a promising band. I thought they kind of sounded pretty samey on their debut, but it still was a worthy listen.
They're one to follow, I think.
Yeah, they're definitely one to follow. They're only getting better, I hope.
Yeah, they're also team up with a new producer, Sebastian Sieb Liverman.
So this will all be in the show notes. Look out for Reconception by Conception, Darkmoor's Pledge Music thingy, Beast in Black upcoming release, and Evertail upcoming release. So, yeah, that's all we have for the news. Do you guys have any other comments? Last comments?
Not really.
I don't think so.
That was a long silence.
any late-breaking final news?
I don't know. This Evertail one was pretty recent. But they didn't say much, so we don't have much to add on top of it.
Yeah, except to just be on the lookout. And they're like a new band, and it's nice to support new bands so that the genre doesn't die.
Don't wait to get morbid.
But can you kill what is already dead?
Ooh.
Oh,
what
it's
is
not
dead,
dead
may never die.
Okay,
we can say
what is dead may never die. We will just be
it's metal
immortal undead zombies of power metal.
You can't kill metal because it's been dead since it started.
It's okay. We can. I think this conversation about whether metal is dead or not can go a lot of different directions.
No, it's good dead.
I think
it's not like bad dead.
This is a good topic.
It's like metal dead.
This is a good topic for another episode, and we should delve into
it. Okay. table this for another episode because I have a lot of thoughts on this too. But for now, we're going to talk about us. We're going to get Powerful is going to get real up close and personal and talk about, you know, what do you listen to, or like how do you approach your power metal listening? Do you just like only listen to power metal, or do you choose music depending on your mood? How do you determine what you listen to?
Do we listen to different stuff while doing different things?
Yeah, do you?
Yes.
Oof.
Elaborate.
Are we starting with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's start with you arbitrarily.
Leading the charge
here. You volunteered.
All right.
I was going to ask for volunteers, but you just did.
All right. So, lead me. Where do I start? Four gates.
All right, Biscuit. Okay.
When do you listen to ska?
When do I listen to ska?
Yeah.
Well, see, if I pull up my Spotify made for you, my daily mixes. Currently, I have Daily Mix 1 as ska, and Daily Mix 2 is power metal, and Daily Mix 3 is pop punk. So that,
okay,
that,
so
that,
those are your like
that's
three
my life.
Music categories.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you like power metal while brushing your teeth and like ska when you're working out? Like, what is your routine?
Really depends on the day. While driving, I listen to power metal, but sometimes I also listen to pop punk. It really just depends on my mood.
Are there specific contexts for each one?
What mood would it be where you listen to power metal?
Power metal is a little more like complicated generally than pop punk or ska. So if I'm feeling like tired or out of it, I might put power metal on the back burner for a little bit. There's a lot going on in those songs. Some days I want to feel like I'm going to cry a lot, so I put on Seventh Wonder's Tiara and listen to that for four album listens in a row.
Dude, spoilers.
You know.
Dude, there's going to be spoilers all over this portion, although I don't think it matters anyway, because everything's in the show notes.
Anyway, I've actually been... I'll talk about what I'm listening to now later, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just kind of depends on the mood.
Just talk about what you're like. What are some stuff that you? How are you feeling? This sounds like a psychotherapy section, but what was your general mood this week? And what kind of stuff did you listen to?
Biscuit analysis.
Yeah. I listened to a lot of Seventh Wonder.
Okay.
I've been listening to a lot of that album. Just Tiara, not Seventh Wonder as a whole. I actually don't like their other albums. I keep trying, but I don't like them.
So odd, but okay. Yeah, fair enough.
It's like with Stradivarius. I keep trying. I try every now and then to get into it. It just doesn't work.
Okay. That's okay.
But yeah, I mean, I listened to a sweet J-Ska band that our buddy Edeledron showed me called Ore Ska Band. They're pretty cool.
Ore Ska Band? Like,
it's like
I
a
ska band.
It's a girl group slash ska band from Japan. Pretty cool.
So a ska band. Okay.
Yeah.
You find the strangest things.
I didn't find it.
You bring up the strangest things that other people found.
I don't know. I'm listening to Boys of Battle. We'll talk about that on a different episode. The boys.
Okay.
All right, I'll jump in and offer my two cents here.
Yeah. How
so,
about you, ZF?
Yes, the ZF. So
the ZF,
like you said, power metal is there's a lot going on. It's a lot of auditory information for me to brain to process, and I'm weird because I can be very adaptable when it comes to power metal. Like I can have it on when I'm driving or when I'm like doing work on something or just like perusing the internet, not even really paying attention to it. It's just I just like to have it there. It's a nice presence. Like, I can listen to it to get hyped up for things because, you know, that's kind of power metal's thing. Like, oh, it's fast-paced and energetic and soaring vocals that just make you want to go, wah, and punch some shit, and it's great.
All right.
But on the other hand, power metal can be extremely relaxing for me. Like, if I just, like, I did this a lot in college when, like, I wanted to, like, take a nap or something. Or I do it these days when I'm traveling all the goddamn time and I'm going to, like, sleep on a plane. I can, like... lay down, pop the headphones in, crank like Blind Guardian or whoever the fuck, and just sort of like ignore everything else that's going on and just like relax and lose myself into the Hansi or the whatever I'm listening to. It is strange, really very strangely relaxing. I know people.
It's very familiar to you. No, right. I think it makes a lot of sense because Blind Guardian is music is very familiar to you. So
I guess it's like. The old favorites are the ones that I can like really relax to without having to get super into, I guess. Is that weird?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure if I'm describing that right.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You
and
know, also
even like,
but branching off of that, that's a lot of the reason I don't like popular music because it's not familiar. I don't know how it works. Right.
It'll get familiar if you turn on the radio a lot and you hear the same things.
You just like go
and
outside and you're like around other people. You're gonna hear pop music.
No, not the pop music's fine.
What is outside?
But it's like
elaborate
popular
on this outside
hip-hop
for me.
Popular hip hop. I don't know how hip hop works. I don't know how any of their beats work. I don't know how songs are made in hip hop. I can't predict it. I hate it.
I don't want to generalize hip hop because I have a lot of respect for hip hop. So I have a lot of like hip hop
like
fan friends.
I'm sure it's good. I just
It
fucks with me, man. Because I don't get it.
You don't speak the language. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's how like none of my friends like power metal. They're like, I don't get it. Which is fine.
And it's too slow.
What?
All other music is too slow for us.
It's not slow.
No.
I don't think it's slow. It's not. Anyway.
That's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
Darko, do you want to add?
Hit us with a hot take, Darko.
Like different genres of music, they have their own structures and languages. It's like learning another language. So maybe a lot of people don't get bebop jazz. And a lot of people don't get hip-hop, and a lot of people don't get house music and whatever, and that's okay. You still can get it if you get into it, but if you don't get into it and learn the language, everything will always sound like the same thing, like, all metal is just noise, or all jazz is just doodly-doodly-doodly-doodly.
Oh, yeah, you definitely can't generalize, like, oh, all hip-hop is, like, something. I have no opinions.
No, I'm gonna generalize because I don't know it.
That's like what people say about metal. Oh, all metal is just screaming and violence.
Yeah, and that will be,
and that's not true.
That will be your perception of any genre you're not familiar with get into it and understand the language
until something clicks.
Because otherwise you'll just be that guy who's like, oh, metal's just screaming. It's like satanic. And then meanwhile, you're like sitting there listening to Blind Guardian sing about like bards. And you're like, this is not satanic. What?
Mm-hmm. Or little girls going on spaceships to talk to aliens. But
that's not.
Or
oh, that's later. We were going to get into that later.
Or a group of boys battling
over strawberry ice cream penguins.
I'm curious, what are the your dark horse genres, the ones that you know you get into that other people might not suspect of you as a power metal fan? I know Larry here has talked about ska.
Lots of ska.
What about you four? What are you into that's completely like I guess removed from power metal?
I don't know. I think people are surprised that I'm into power metal in the first place. I guess people just have a lot of conceptions about, like, I don't know.
Small Asian scientist girls.
Think about it from the perspective of our fan base. You just know you for the hardcore, true metal person that you are.
I am. So I like a variety of music. I mostly listen to metal. I like Europower and USPM. If I look at what I listened to last week, here goes: Riot, The Privilege of Power, Dragony, because I had to, Mgła, because we have a friend from Poland and he taught me how to pronounce this band's name.
How do you pronounce it?
Oh, and they are on Spotify. Mgła.
Great
Mgła?
Band.
Mgła?
Mgła?
Yeah. I.
Mgła.
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 Mgła. It means fog. Right?
Yeah.
Or something?
That's a cool name.
Yeah. They are on Spotify now, and it is a really big deal, actually. And oh, I fucking love them.
Hey, Loudon.
Yeah, I love them. I love them so much. And I also listen to Elder Wind, which is like atmospheric black metal. And I also listen to Thonic, which is like Taiwanese symphonic black metal.
You're just getting more true and deep and obscure. It's not what
I am. No, it's not obscure. Like, these are all really popular bands in like black metal, I guess.
Yeah, but in the genres, I mean, like, I don't know what, like, I think Seth was trying to cage you into saying that you like, I don't know, Swedish pop or something, and you just
what's your normie? What's your normie side? Symphonic black metal side.
I guess. Sorry, I have something. Hold on. I'm not that cool. My fiance is a big like Japanese indie fan. Oh my god, is this gonna be all like cult and obscure too? Fuck.
It's okay.
We're learning things today. Yeah, this is
learning,
great.
We're learning that okay, four so is the truest of everyone.
We've been listening to like this this really cool Japanese prog band called Trico. They're spelled T-R-I-C-O-T.
That's a Pokemon,
and
by the way.
They have all these like insane time signature changes and like different rhythms going on at the same time. It's just absolutely nuts. And the vocalist is like, she has this really like sweet like head voice, and it's just like a huge contrast to the insane time signature changes. It's really cool. Okay, cool. That's not normie, I realize. Sorry.
It's okay. Don't feel pressure to like normie stuff,
to like certain
like
things.
We call it.
Yeah.
That's you like what you like. We're learning here.
Yeah.
Genre shame.
We're getting real personal up in here.
We don't genre shame here.
Yeah, we don't. I thought that's all
we do.
Just kidding.
I'm saying that now, but right now we don't genre shame. Maybe in like 5 minutes we will.
Maybe in like 5 minutes. Can we genre shame someone else? Can we genre shame Don?
Yeah, Don.
Don's our friend.
Your podcast first timer. We're not gonna have much an idea of your tastes.
Yeah,
so we gotta fast track the personal familiarization.
Some
here.
Good
yeah,
Polish
so
taste.
How was your week? Tell us about how your week went, how your mood was, and what you were listening to.
My week was great, but I was just mostly listening to one album, and it's a Polish artist. It's like the biggest album in Poland right now, and it's by an artist called Dawid Podsiadło.
Gesundheit.
David something?
Dawid Podsiadło, yes.
Dawid Podsiadło. Cool.
We'll put that one in the description.
It's like a pop music mixed with synthwave, I guess.
Ooh.
That sounds
fun.
Yeah,
really
it's
cool.
Interesting. It's really good, actually. And
it's like a Snowblood. Did you listen to Snowblood?
No, I have no idea what that is.
I don't know if it's like that, but Snowblood is cool.
Snowblood was good.
It's still pop, but it's great.
That's very cool.
But yeah, mostly that. Not much more. Maybe some power metal, yes. Yeah.
Is that usually on the radio, though? Like,
yes.
What do your radios play?
Same stuff yours do, probably. But
that's so weird. Why are other countries' radios playing American stuff?
Oh, American stuff dominates the world.
Because it's popular.
It does, I know. America. I'm just like, it was a rhetorical question.
We won the cultural victory.
Oh, I guess.
Ooh,
for better or for worse.
Jokes. Hey.
Yeah, that's the world we live in. So I know Darko has a very like diverse variety of music, popular and obscure.
I am so diverse.
And also I have heard that Darko has a very particular music listening routine.
Does he? I want to hear about this routine.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
Apparently I'm weird.
Do you like make an event out of listening to something?
Sometimes, yes. Like I did last week, I listened to the original soundtrack from Doom 2016 that I bought the deluxe version on vinyl, so I made an afternoon on a Sunday just to listen to it, and it was great.
That's awesome.
Were you just like sitting in a comfortable chair with like a glass of Coke? Like,
yeah, I was in my couch.
That's awesome.
on the main sound system that we have at home on a home theater. Set to stereo, but with a subwoofer, which was required for the music. If you haven't listened to it and you're a metal fan, you're an electronic music fan, or you just like fun and powerful stuff, I'd say listen to the original soundtrack to Doom 2016 by Mick Gordon. Everything is made out of synths, and there's one guitar here and there just for
That's
texture.
Amazing.
But everything is made of synths, and he's a genius with synths and signal processing, and it's the most brutal thing ever. And I am really surprised that they translated it so well to vinyl. And I'm happy because I bought this very expensive version because the art is cool, and I did that. I just set up an afternoon. I'm doing nothing else but going there, putting the first record, first side, listening to it, and whenever it's required, go and flip it and pull in the next one. Maybe bathroom break between records. It's a four disc thing, so it was a nice afternoon.
It's four vinyls, yes. So that's like eight sides.
Yes.
It's a workout just to listen to that album.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta get up.
I think that's really cool though. You actually dedicated time to sit down and like just listen, just do one thing. So you're not like trying to multitask and do a million things at once. I feel like that really clears your mind and allows you to focus on the music.
And yeah. It's really when it's an album I'm looking forward to, I'll commit to it like that. Won't look at anything, won't read anything, just okay, I'm just gonna sit down, headphones, boom, music, go.
I think I need to do that more.
You should.
Like, I think this is gonna get all, I don't know, psychological, like this entire fucking episode, but I think we as a people we live in a society.
This is the capital. This is the capital people.
And I do not understand that meme, but I think we need to chill the fuck out.
We need to make more time for ourselves.
Yeah. We do need to make more time for ourselves. I'm not being sarcastic. So you, listener, pick an album that you've been meaning to really get into and sit your ass down. Grab your favorite beverage.
Turn off your screen if you're listening to it on the computer.
Yeah, and don't browse.
Turn off
just
the screen.
Like, chill.
Remove the keyboard and the mouse. Just listen.
Maybe draw a nice hot bath.
That might be difficult.
Light some candles.
That would probably be too complex for
I actually
people,
did
but
that.
Yeah, that's great.
Back when I had a bathtub in the old apartment, I put on Ashbringer, which is another black metal band, and I just like turn off the lights and I sat
ooh,
in the tub.
Spooky.
Is that creepy?
No, it's great. Creepy? No, I actually I do that sans the bath because I don't have a bathtub where I fit.
Yeah, I don't have a bath anymore. But, and I actually like after I did that, I realized I hate baths because, like, only your half of your body is in, and you're, like, fucking cold.
Oh, you got to slouch
like,
down
halfway.
Into the bath.
Yeah, no, you need a bigger bath.
And then I have back pain because I have really bad posture. So baths are weird. But anyway, listening to music, like, focused in a focused manner is encouraged. Bath optional.
It's great to break up your week or your routine. Like, you know that sometimes you need time for yourself because you're doing a million things
and you're so tired
and we probably younger people than us are more like this, that they probably never actually seen listening to music as an activity on itself, since
that's so true.
Before, when we were kids, for example, most of us here, it was a requirement to listen to music, to go and put a cassette or a CD into its own device and play it. And when it reaches the end, flip it to the other side to continue.
Yeah, that's true. It's a really conscious thing. Mm-hmm. Like when I was, I stayed in an Airbnb once and there was a record player and I don't have one at home, even though we have a bunch of vinyls that we can't play. Priorities. But it was like, oh, one side is over. I guess I have to go flip it now.
Yeah.
But that just shows like I'm actively listening and I realized that it ended and now I have to flip it. And then you kind of like appreciate the structure of the album. You're like, oh, this musician has built like an intro to ease me in. And like, maybe, you know, they tried to like put a faster song in the middle and like have a conclusion or something.
Yeah. It's not just a playlist
going on. Totally.
And trying to take this back to our original idea for this talk, but this talk was great. When I bought that record, that album, the Doom OST, and I listened to it last week, but I got it like a month ago or more.
And you waited that solid month just to get like the perfect
I was waiting. I wanted to listen to it in full. Mm. Right, it's not something that I usually do, listening to albums in full. Actually, we'll get to that, but it was like,
you don't?
No, I mostly don't. This was like, I want to dedicate myself to this task, to being able to sit on the living room, put on the record and appreciate it because I really like the music. Like I've known this album. I listened to that album on my phone for a year before even playing the game.
Really? That game is sick.
I ended up buying it. It's Doom? Sick. Yeah, I really liked it. I really liked it when I played it, but I just got the OST first. And after a year, I said, I should try this game because if it's half as good as the album, then it's a great game.
You know, I'm glad you've brought up the Doom soundtrack, Darko, because that's one of my... It's like go-to outside of power metal things is soundtracks for games or TV shows or movies or things like that. Halo is probably the one that I hit the most. Like that Halo 3 soundtrack is just too good.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of good soundtracks there. And they are great for, maybe they are not, you wouldn't think of that as a thing you want to listen to and do nothing else, because usually that's music that's made for being the background for doing something. For example, playing a game. But in this case, to me, it is. It's really cool. And again, I wanted to get a nice moment for myself to listen to the whole thing and blast it.
And blast it, of course.
Of course.
Obviously. Those blast beats.
Yeah, I think that's what I kind of use car time for. I just like, because in the car, you're forced to not do anything else. But I think like being sitting at home and being very conscious and not having to drive while you're listening is a whole nother level of like focus.
That's true. I'd listen to a lot of music in the car because I drive a lot now for work.
Yeah.
And that's one of my like, all right, this is a new album that I have to listen to times.
Yeah, I would do that, except like I don't have everything on CD. I buy a lot of digital albums. And my car is older than... Is it older than some of you? Maybe it's older than Dawn.
No,
that
can't. Thanks.
Yeah. But, okay, what's in my car right now is the Keepers of Jericho, a Halloween tribute album that I picked up at Prong Power. And it's actually amazing. I love it so much. My favorite tracks are Luca Turilli covering I'm Alive.
I love that song.
And Elisa Darkmoor covering Halloween. It's so good.
Like when I'm like really want to give like an album like a solid listen, I basically have to do it at home because I think that my headset for my computer, my desktop, is like the highest quality audio device that I own. Oh. And so like popping it on the desktop is like that's how I get my quality listens. My earbuds that I use for my phone I think are decent quality, but it does, because those don't wrap around the ears. It doesn't have the same effect in my mind.
Yeah, the main thing there that you will feel is the low end, how low it gets when you have your big over-ear headphones.
I have noticed that difference.
Yeah, and you get first the feeling of having them on, that's pressure, and probably silence isolates you from the outside better. And you get this greater sense of low end because it's not just the audio that you're listening, but like you feel the low end vibrations, at least with the headphones that we have, which I think we all have the M50s that probably everyone has. They're like really standard right now, the Audio Technica ones. And they have a really enhanced low end, so they are very good for leisure listening.
I think I have the M40. No, it's good stuff to know. We love Darko audio nerdness, that you have that perspective that none of us can offer.
So the headphones are definitely like my definitive listen thing.
Yeah, I think you just need I think we talked Darko and I have talked about this like in I guess not on air before, but can you share maybe just a little snippet about like audiophile, quote unquote, equipment and whether like
we wanted to do this on a different episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
This will be a future discussion.
All right. So this is more than a little snippet. This is like an entire episode worthy rant.
Yeah. Okay. We have so many teasers this episode. It's a real season premiere.
No, it's good. It's good. We have a lot of ideas for you, which is good. And I realized that I totally forgot to plug our social media in the beginning when we were introducing ourselves. So this is going to serve this is going to be like the mid-episode ad, but
podcast halftime.
Yeah, podcast halftime. I am sweating and suffocating. And you can also find us on powerful-podcast.com. Find all our previous episodes there and also links to all of our social media. We are on Instagram at Powerful Podcast. We are on Twitter at, what's your Twitter handle?
Powerful PM.
Powerful PM. And that's all linked on the website. And you can also email us. That's on the website too. But basically, if you go to powerful-podcast.com, you can find all of our links and also find us on Facebook. Just search Powerful, a Power Metal Podcast. Send us a message. We read everything. We read all the comments.
Also,
we laugh sometimes.
Also,
and we reply sometimes.
We are, if you just Google Powerful Podcast, you'll get us now. We are number one.
Yeah.
With our ambiguous name.
We are the number one Power Metal Podcast on iTunes.
No, if you just Google Powerful Podcast.
Oh my God, we're not even Power Metal Podcast now, we're just Powerful.
If you just
podcast?
Google Powerful Podcast, our ambiguous title, that anything could be, you get us.
That's amazing.
We're like the top three.
The power of search engine visibility.
Well
yeah,
done,
and
everyone.
To help, if you like what you're listening to and you want to help us out, write us a review on iTunes. We've noticed that we have a couple of reviews. Shout outs to those people. And we also get a lot of like good feedback on Reddit and Facebook, but if you guys could just copy and paste us onto iTunes, that would be pretty rad because it helps us show up higher in searches.
Yeah, and if you check out the Facebook and the Instagram, sometimes have some great shit posts on them. So
great
shit posts, funnies,
yeah,
quality shit posts that actually take a long time to produce. But yeah, that's our social media, and that's all we have.
Remember, boys and girls out there, the more you shill us, the more we can shill for you.
Yeah, we like to support newer power metal bands and send us your albums. We'll listen and we'll talk about it if we like it.
As you all know, we got Hansi previously. Our next goal.
Yeah.
We're going to get Toby. We're going to get him.
We've got some big goals and some big plans.
It's for you, the fans. We're going to get Tobias Sammet one day for the fans, not for us.
For us as well, yeah.
Also for us.
For us as
well. Really, mostly for us.
I have so many questions.
It's kind of for us, but it's actually for the fans.
Yeah, I also have a lot of questions for, like, a lot of the people we have in mind.
Dude, if we can get Toby and Kiski on for an Avantasia cast, that'd be so sick.
Can we just get, everyone on Avantasia on, actually?
At the same time,
yeah, like a 20-person podcast. Like, let's do
65
it.
65 of them.
Yeah, all 65 of them.
That's gonna take like 3 years to edit. No,
I want the sound crew in there also. We're gonna be like that small stage when they performed in Anaheim on a Monday night that one time, crowded and hot.
You know, they have the flying circus. We have the flying podcast.
Yeah. And we're coming back to the cast after our long-ass social media plug, which is totally necessary. And what were we talking about?
Now we're going to get into the meat. Meat of the episode.
The plant-based protein of the episode for all you non-meat eaters.
None of that touchy-feely psychology bullshit. We're getting down to the brass tacks, to the metal.
I guess. So, in other words, we're going to review some albums. Hopefully you guys have a little bit of an idea of the kind of music we listen to and where we listen to it. I guess I didn't really talk about how I like to listen to music to cancel out what I'm doing, but that's fine.
I'm curious about
that. You guys can
that.
Probably figure it out, really.
Yeah, I think... we can go a bit more.
I like to listen to power metal if I'm doing really quiet stuff, like if I'm at work just working on my computer. And then if I'm like, so I train like powerlifting stuff usually, and I listen to like really mellow stuff then. Like I like to do the atmospheric black metal then.
To wind down?
I don't know. It's to make me less nervous. Because sometimes I get like really nervous on like a heavy squat.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just need to chill.
Hmm. That makes sense.
So.
Well, since I think we can talk about this a bit more.
Okay. Because you listen to music to complement your mood? Like, I'm very excited today. Let's fuck some shit up and like put on some fast nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I like doing that.
I touched on that earlier when I was talking about Tiara. And like I said, when I'm feeling really somber, I want to listen to Victorious through Farewell Part 3, specifically on Tiara. Just those four tracks.
Can I hit you guys with an open question? Are there specific contexts that you might try to listen to a specific type of song? Like, for example, when I'm traveling, I sometimes find myself listening to a lot of epics, a lot of longer songs. I feel like it makes the trip go faster.
Because you're on a journey. That makes sense.
Or like I'll listen to songs about like going home or something, like Come On Home by Freedom Call or Heading North by Stormwear. Like sometimes those fitting thematically with the song or just straight up being longer, I think are fun little things to tie in with.
I have kind of activity specific songs, but they may or may not make sense.
Hit us with it.
I listen to Vision Divine, the 25th Hour album. And basically all the loopy albums in the shower a lot. I just put my phone outside because I think, I don't know, they're fun to sing along to. Because Loopy has a nice voice and I don't. And other activity specific songs. I mentioned this to you guys in like chat before, but Nightwish reminds me of wisdom teeth extraction surgery.
What?
Because when I had my wisdom teeth removed, I just did local anesthesia and then I asked the dentist if I can put on headphones to drown out the sound of bone grinding and the drill. So Nightwish now reminds me of wisdom teeth extraction surgery.
So specific.
Music that's a good segue.
What?
I guess.
That's a good transition topic. Like what is it? What really? Do you associate
so
with
what?
Like what albums do you what associate do you, with like activities?
With certain activities. Yeah.
I've got a good one on
any,
that. I've got a good one.
Do you guys have any fun associations?
So
I don't know if I call this one fun, but so the song Silver Lake by Dark Moor, Relevant, we talked about this. I associate that song with car accidents.
Oh my God.
Because I was in high school and I got into an extremely minor car accident in the parking lot. And that was the song that was playing when that happened.
Music, music has a really, really strong bond with memories.
It does.
Just like smells do as well. Music is more common to understand and share with everyone. For example, I associate the first Dragon Force albums with my early years of college, because that's when I was like, when I had them all on my phone, so I listened to them a lot. When going, I listened to like, what's the name of the song? Dragon Force song that has a video from the first three or four albums.
Through the Fire and Flames?
No, not that one.
Operation Ground and Pound.
No, after that. The blue video with the screens.
Long Journey Home?
No, that's the awful
the
video.
The awful
video. Heroes of Our Time.
Yeah, Heroes of Our Time. Yeah, well done.
Nailed it.
Well done. That's great.
First try.
Yeah.
Good job.
So that song, when that comes up on my random Spotify or whatever, instantly reminds me of me going on the bus to college on a Saturday morning. It's like instant tied there, because at that time I had those songs on all the time. And music really likes to bond with memories, and maybe having that... like it helps your memory, it helps you remind stuff because the memories get tied to that song. So you have an instant recall mechanism for for that memory.
That's so true.
It's like some Inception shit.
No, that's so true. Like, I just think of Stratovarius Destiny, and it just reminds me of, like, taking the bus to school. And I can just see myself, like, walking to, like, the math building to drop off my homework and stuff.
I feel like I don't have feelings at all because I don't have any of that.
Don has no feelings confirmed.
I don't have any music associated with memories, or I don't even listen to music by mood. I just listen to whatever I play.
And that's valid.
Whatever that you happen to find that day.
Yeah. Just like
that's
that.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't think it's awesome. I don't know.
No, don't feel bad. Weird. No, don't.
No.
You're just,
no, we don't share.
For example, you're the opposite.
You're
of
just
me,
young.
For example, you're the opposite.
I think you listen to a lot more music than I do. I'll speak for myself.
I don't know.
Because like sometimes that. Sometimes I just feel like I can't listen to power metal because I'm so tired.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have that, but.
Yeah.
But it's not because of mood. I just listen to too much power metal and I switch to a different genre.
Yeah, I totally get you.
I associate Winter Sun's Time One with my senior year of high school because it came out like around that time and I listened to it like nonstop that year. I even put one of the instrumental songs in my one of my video projects for school that year.
Wow, aren't yep. you cool?
I did. I am very cool.
You are so cool. So you had the isolated track from the yeah,
so there was
package
like,
version
like,
of
Time. No. It was. I think they had like a bonus version of the album that had instrumental versions, and I acquired it and then put it in a video.
You acquired it or you acquired it?
Oh my god, Biscuit.
Biscuit, don't be like that.
Sketchy.
From a
sketchy,
professional standpoint,
Biscuit.
I am drawing no distinction between your two previous statements.
I said acquired.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
I,
that was
all
great.
I did was I said acquired twice. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was no commercial use for that video, so it's okay, Jari. No need for
we support you.
I just made my high school video production class. I had to listen to like a minute of the title track of Time. It was pretty sick.
Wow.
You force people.
High school kiddos to Winter Sauna. That's amazing.
it's true. I did.
You did. Good job.
A round of applause.
I also put I think I put some Enantiopharm song in a different video that year. And then I even use a separate Enantiopharm song in a college project. So
you are like number one fan.
Well,
unless it was like new
in college, it was off Victory Song. So it wasn't Yari.
Mm, okay.
But, I like sneaking in metal songs in places that, I might not be able to in normal context.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much like metal I should sneak into like our wedding. I don't
all
know,
of it.
Probably
all
like
of
zero.
All of it.
All of it.
Probably like zero. I just want it to like begin and go well.
Just play all the
if
romantic
you're not playing
songs in metal.
Kane's Offering, Build You a Rome, yeah. Then you're doing something wrong.
Oh yeah, I should insert that somewhere.
The
we're
most
gonna
romantic
do the
power
first
metal song
dance
ever.
To Labyrinth and Midnight Autumn's Dream.
Or Lady Lost in Time.
Oh yeah, that's too fast. I can't.
I don't care.
I don't want to move that fast.
Well, yeah, that's fast.
The Universe on Fire should be there.
Boom.
Oh, yeah, at the dance portion.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, let's do that.
When everyone is
oh,
crazy
I really
want
to get into the reviews. There's like this track that I really like that I want to talk about. Anyway.
Is that a transition? If I ever heard one,
I guess,
so now we're gonna get down to the meat of the episode.
Yeah,
the
we're
brass
gonna review some albums now,
to the metal.
Now that you've heard what we like to listen to during oral surgery, let's review our first album of the day, night, thing, time of day. Unlucky Morpheus, change of generation. Great singing, thank you.
You know what? I forgot to listen to that. Whoops.
Oh my gosh.
What?
It's funny because I went through like all of fucking JPM like 2 weeks ago.
It's a really good album. Yeah, Unlucky Morpheus. I think they started out as a Toho, like, arrangement band.
They did. I listened to their fucking Toho albums before.
Yeah.
I listened to all of their contracted stuff, but I didn't listen to any of their originals.
Oh, okay. Who has heard Change of Generation?
I have. It's really good.
I listened to it. It's good. I like Sweet. It.
Yeah. I've heard it and I don't like it at all.
Well, no one asked you.
Yeah. I asked him. Oh my gosh, so rude. To our Polish guest.
I think it's just not my style.
Yeah, it's like super neoclassical, like.
Yeah. Yes, but I like Galnerius, or however you pronounce it.
Yeah, this is like, I would say this album is for fans of Galnerius.
For sure.
And like,
it's very JPM-y.
Strato and like Yngwie Malmsteen. Like people who like the neoclassical guitar stuff.
Yeah, they're so good.
But there's like a shit ton of violin. Like,
yeah, I wanted to talk about that. The violin. Yeah,
talk
is,
about the violin.
The violin is very, very present on this album. I guess they have keyboards, but I think the violin really fills
they
in.
They have a violinist. Yeah, like, she's like, in the band.
Like, when I saw Neil Blivaskaris a few weeks ago, I was really impressed with, like, they're having their violinist as, like, a normal, like, member of the band.
Oh,
and that's what these guys
He's
do.
He's, like, super important in it.
And so we need more violins in metal. Like, I know we talked about Elvin King before.
I like solo violin.
They have like a straight up violinist that plays shit, but doing less of a folky thing and more of just like adding another layer to the music. I really like. They have keyboards as well, but I think the violin fills in that role a lot more of just adding like another tool for the melody.
So I like that the vocals, which is Fuki, who is also from Lightbringer, another like Japanese power metal band. The vocalist and the violin is playing different melodies at the same time. And I like that.
Yeah. The vocals are the one thing I'm not as into. Maybe it's just
really
the, I'm just not
I
as big
the
on like
vocals
the,
were great.
On like female Japanese vocals.
No, I
guess they try to sound like they're 5 years old and
it's weird. I don't like Fuki. It's too high pitched. She's too high-pitched.
Too anime-y. Yeah. Like, I get that people like that, but it's just not my thing.
Oh, you haven't listened
I have the exact same.
Oh my gosh, you haven't listened to enough. No, this is not high-pitched at all.
High-pitched.
You haven't listened to, like, the kawaii, like, fucking pop stuff.
Yeah, this is...
I know,
this is like,
I know, this is like
this is
the
like
easy
mature.
Version of it.
Yeah. This is normal. This is a powerful voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know nothing. Bro, you're so far from home now.
I'm okay with just sticking with this end of the spectrum, then.
Yeah, Darko and I defend the vocalist here. She's fantastic. And listen to Lightbringer also if you like.
Yeah, you can also check out
other project.
Doll's Books. And she was on Dragon Guardians, Dragon Barius. I think I'm the only person this side of the Greenwich Meridian that likes Dragon Guardian, but
Greenwich Meridian. I haven't listened to them. I only know Lightbringer. And I only know a little bit of it.
Yeah, the thing with Dragon Guardian is that all the albums pretty much are concept albums with characters talking and everything is in Japanese. So people are put off by that. But
what is happening?
But I think it's still really cool. And it's in the same neoclassical style kind of thing.
Okay, cool. All right, so that's Unlucky Morpheus, Change of Generation.
Do you guys have... what are your favorite songs off that album? Hit me.
I don't know.
I don't know fucking titles. Make me look it up.
Never mind.
I thought the first real Knight of Sword, which is probably grammatically not correct. Knight of Sword and then like Cadaver and then Cadaver Backwards. That was really cool.
I liked
those two songs.
The double single backwards forwards.
I tried
thing.
To figure out if it's like the same track played.
No, they took the music and wrote it backwards and played that.
That's fucking crazy. Because the track length is the same, too.
Yeah, and it's instead of Cavador, it's Revadak.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. It's a made-up word.
Yeah.
But yeah, generally recommend this album.
The title track, Change of Generation, is really, really good. I like the instrumental. I think it was Spartan Army. Lots of that violin on there. Real good. Yeah.
I just went into my Spotify for this and Spartan Army, I have it saved to my Spotify.
Sick.
So I'd say that was my favorite one.
Good picks. I was going to say the album really shreds. I recommend checking it out for some fast paced, crazy neoclassical guitar stuff. Also Japan.
Yeah. Hot take. Japanese power metal did Hot neoclassical take. European power metal better than any European band ever did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't like these big generalizations.
I don't think it's necessary to state this.
I don't think it's necessary. Just bands
that do stuff, and if they do it,
they do things. We don't have to like compare them to each other. It's like how people bitch that like, oh, this band sounds too similar to this, but it's like whatever.
I don't like.
You just wrote it. It's fine.
I don't like distinguishing by country, like.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the style and the style is the same, then why bring up, oh, this country did it better later. Nah, that's irrelevant.
That makes no sense, because you could have like good musicians and writers from a country, and then you can also have shit musicians probably in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Maybe even in the same house. Who knows?
Maybe in the same house. Yeah. Maybe I am a terrible songwriter and my fiance over there, who's probably playing Magic the Gathering, is fantastic. Anyway. Do you guys want to talk about Dragony?
Oh, yeah.
ZF does. Yeah, I will talk about Dragony. You guys can...
I know Don doesn't.
Spare yourselves if you want to.
So you don't have to.
Yeah, so...
Okay, go on. You requested this review.
I did.
So
I did.
There's a reason for this one.
Dragony has their new album, Masters of the Multiverse. They are a band from Austria. And, like, I like them. Like, I think they do fun things. I like how they base their songs off of just like the different nerdy shit that they like. I like their singer Siegfried. He's got a really pretty sounding voice. I think on this album, they stepped up their writing for the orchestrations. They sort of started adding in some of the like twinkly shit that Twilight Force does with their newer album. Not to the same degree, but they've started doing that, getting really heavy on those orchestrations.
Yeah, I was actually going to say this totally reminds me of whatever genre Twilight Force Heroes of Mighty fucking
magic.
Hot mess magic is.
Yeah, getting into like the Disney metal thing.
Oh my god.
Now, let me expand on that. So this album, like, I want to like it, like, but it frustrates me. It's a frustrating album. Because
why does it frustrate you?
Just about every single song forgets that it's being played by a metal band for almost all of it. Like, their verses in particular, like, don't have guitars. They'll go so slowly and be so boring the way they do their verses. They're just waiting for them to do the big catchy chorus with the layered vocals and the orchestrations. And that's, like, the only times they'll kick in the guitars and double bass drums. And, you know, it's fine, but, I just wish the verses had more going on. Because, like, there are a lot of songs where I really like the choruses. Like, the Neon Wings one and Defenders, I really like the chorus on, but God, stop frustrating me. You could be so good, but you're not. It's like,
I'd say that from my listen, the first few tracks that are the more metal-y ones, I actually didn't like them a lot, but then,
Oh my gosh. Okay. What is your standout track? I just want to know your standout track in this album, like the one that you remember the most.
I didn't save any particular track, but
if it bleeds, we can kill it. Oh my fucking god! That dance.
When that song came out, that was the first single, and I'm like, oh shit, I am worried.
Oh, I know. No. I was like, I hate this album, but I fucking love this song.
See that?
Because I am treating it as my I don't know. This is like, it has Battle Beast like synth 80s pop. Fucking vibes. Like, and it's amazing. I hate the rest of this album though.
I like the slower songs on this album, and I'm not saying they're particularly great. It's just that I feel like they did better on those non-metal-y parts of songs than on the actual guitar loaded parts on songs.
This is not a metal album at all. I don't know.
The thing is,
I don't know what metal is. Isn't in it.
The most guitar heavy album, or most guitar heavy song on the album, is The Iron Price. It's like a Game of Thrones thing, the second to last track. It's probably my least favorite track. So it's is that the reason they didn't do guitar things? Because they just can't?
I think they are going in a direction that is less riffy less guitar led.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, maybe this is on purpose. Like, you have this. I wrote down Days of High Adventure, and
I like that one.
It sounds straight up out of Disney.
It's like, so silly, this is like, but it's
princess.
It's a solid ballad. I like that song.
It's ridiculous. It makes me want to like vomit pink stars.
So my big issue with the album, I like Dragon Age's old stuff a lot.
Yes, that's the Shadowplay was actually
but my Shadowplay was real solid. That's why I was looking forward to this.
Dragon Age has been good in the past, except the issue with this new album is that it's the last album. It's the exact same song almost, just about like 10 times. It's so samey, and it sounds just like all of their old stuff. It's just there's not a lot going on, I guess, is what I'm trying to get to.
I feel like just about every song does follow like a very, very similar format, even by quote unquote power metal standards, where it's like, okay, we'll have the drum do like a like a slow thing, and then they might have like one note softly played in the background while the singer's doing something, and then like they'll do like a pre-chorus, they kick up a little bit, and then bring it back down, verse two, boring shit. And then go back into the pre-chorus and then the proper chorus where things start happening. It's like, oh my god, it's music. How about that?
This is why the dance pop track is so good.
Because it feeds off that formula. And actually, actually works there.
It works really well. I was like, I'm into this.
But yeah, like,
screw the rest of the
album. I guess it's not bad.
It doesn't need to exist.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a bad album, like I said. Like, it's frustrating.
It's just it's a Dragon-y album. It's very Dragon-y. It's not bad. It's just the same.
I don't know. A band called Dragon-y. I don't know what to expect. Sorry, Dragon-y. I'm sure y'all are lovely. And coming up with names is really hard. Like, I had a hard time naming my MapleStory character.
No, you
didn't. Didn't you name him Hansi?
It took like 5 seconds to name your MapleStory character.
Yeah, because I asked you guys, and then you guys were like, Hansi. And then I named my MapleStory character Hansi.
If I could point out my favorite songs on here, or the ones that frustrated me the least, the ones whose choruses I like the most, Defenders, like I said, I've actually listened to that one quite a bit. The last track, Eternia Eternal, The Master of the Multiverse, I think is
ridiculous title.
It's ridiculous. That one's pretty cool. And one of the ballads, Days of High Adventure, I thought was pretty sick.
Oh, the Disney one.
The Disney one.
Yeah, the Disney princess.
So watch out, Twilight Force, Dragonies. They're gunning for you.
Twilight Force.
Like, just call them and have them tour together, guys.
Oh, yeah, the Disney princess tour.
The Disney princess metal tour.
It's going to be fantastic.
I'd go to that tour.
We should just start a mosh pit, like, if they ever tour.
I like how If It Bleeds, We Can Kill It is about, like, Predator, and you think it'd be like, it's super badass, but it's like... The most dancey song on the album.
It's amazing. Okay, what else did we listen to this week?
Do we want
to? We didn't listen to anything else.
We listened to Seventh Wonders Tiara.
Do we want to bring it down before we bring it up, or bring it up and then bring it down?
Can we just talk about it? Okay, we can also sing it.
I love this so much.
All right,
this referring to Darko singing.
All right, first impressions. Go.
This is the first Seventh Wonder album that I have liked, and it is pretty damn good. So Tiara, it's very clearly split into two halves, right? You've got the first act it's essentially a musical, right? This album is a musical.
Yeah, it's essentially a concept album. Disney's Moana. Did you guys watch that movie?
Oh, I did.
It's really good. Watched it yet. You need to watch Disney's Moana, because that's basically the same as this album.
Does the album sync up?
Like,
if I play Moana and this album at the same time, will it
sync? You have to play it backwards.
I did not get Moana from this album at all. I got Arrival and Contact.
It's so little protagonist child has to go on a journey far away to like save her homeland. But instead of like succeeding like Disney's Moana did, she fails.
Spoilers.
And the world dies. Well, it's been out for like a month.
Also, it's an album. There's like, who cares?
It's an
about
album.
Spoilers.
Albums can't be spoiled.
I don't know.
I don't think. I guess some people do listen to music for the story, but
yeah. Full disclosure, I have not read the lyrics of any of the songs, and
yeah, I haven't either. Even though they were sent to me.
Just a reminder, since I'm not a native English speaker, I miss way more lyrics than the average listener we have, I guess. So the only lyrics I catch of these and I remember are just the chorus from Tiara's song.
It's Farewell, Tiara.
Sing it again.
It's pretty good.
I like singing. I've been singing that chorus ever since I listened to this single. Mm-hmm. It's so nice.
It's a nice melody. And I like how it comes back in various forms.
Yeah.
Like
I love that.
We talked about the concept albums before, and this album has a motif that they use in different songs to tie the story together, which is Farewell to Yara, this song is yours.
I love the melody on that motif.
It fits with the story. It's so great.
The seven seas it soars. A million voices stand to sing this chorus. Tiara of far dying shores. And then you have the violin playing this little melody on the later tracks, just to bring you back when
at the end of Good Night. They bring in the fiddle to play it.
Yeah, exactly. So
a little folksy and twinge on it. So good.
And so I don't know the lyrics, but I could tell this was a cohesive story. Maybe mainly on the. Like the first two tracks, maybe not so much, but after the third, fourth track onwards, you can get the sense, okay, this all ties together.
Well, because the first three tracks are like setting up the premise.
The setup. Yeah.
And then
the aliens
everything
are coming.
After that is Tiara's journey.
The Everones are an immortal group of aliens who somehow want to go to Earth. To like do terrible.
They
want to
like kill Earth.
And
so
for
like,
some reason.
No, so I read the lyrics when I listened to the album for like the gazillion time this morning.
So I'm not just making stuff up.
You are making stuff up.
Oh shit. Okay.
So yeah, I listened to this album a few times without reading the lyrics, just paying attention to the music.
They're not immortal aliens.
Well, they're aliens. I don't know if they're immortal, but
they're the Everones. So, yeah. They have to be immortal.
I
got that part.
I did the lyrics run through, and I think it's definitely worth doing that. Because you'll understand like the point of each song and how it plays into the story. I definitely recommend everyone does that. Anyway, the story of the song goes like this. You have the Everones, who are these aliens that come to Earth, and they're like, yo, we're sort of like the judges of the galaxy, and humanity is kind of shit, so we're going to fuck them up. And then in the next song, Dream Machines, humanity's like, oh shit, we're not going to have that. We're going to go to war with these guys. And then in the next song, Against the Grain, the protagonist, Tiara, this little girl, she goes against the grain and she proposes a non-violent solution. It's like, oh, how about that?
Wow. Why do people listen to her? She's a little girl.
Because
but
it's,
she has
that's
a point.
The point of the album.
I guess,
is like
I guess.
Her, like,
she's like the only one who refutes. Yeah. Everyone else agrees, like, yeah, let's fuck up these alien bitches. But she's like, wait, why don't we just like talk about it first?
Yeah, and so the next song, Victorious, is about humanity saying, hey, you know, we've overcome so many things and like made all of our fantasies realities. We can overcome this too. We'll be victorious. Hey, get that. And so their plan is to send this little girl who managed to sway humanity's opinion off to talk to the aliens and convince them to be peaceful. And then the next three songs, which are probably my favorite songs in the album,
definitely.
They're so fucking great. The three-part Farewell. That's all about Tiara's departure from Earth, told from different perspectives. The first one, Tiara's song, is like all of Earth like saying farewell to her, like, oh, you're our hero, go off and save us. This is great, though. That's the song is for her from Earth's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, Good Night. This is where it starts getting heavy. This is where we bring it down. This is her parents struggling.
This is when you
to
start
say
crying.
Goodbye to their child.
So sad.
This and they're saying, like, you know, we know it's tough, but you know, gotta be strong. Oh man, it's getting heavy. And then part three. This is Tiara's thoughts as she's leaving. This is where it gets real depressing because she's thinking about, like, I might never come back. And, like, all these wonderful times in my life I might not get to experience. They're beyond today.
Oh shit.
She knows she's probably never coming back.
Entirely possible.
So real quick, let's take a break from the story and talk about the first half of the album, because now we've gone through the first act.
Okay.
No. I want to go through the whole story.
All right. Next up is The Truth. The Truth is like a theme in the album, because Tiara and her like idea of peace or whatever is referred to as her truth. And so she presents her truth to the aliens, and she's like, they're offering peace, and she fails at the end of that song. She says, I couldn't do it. The aliens don't go along with it. And so the next song, By the Light of the Funeral Pyres, is I think the heaviest and fastest song on the album, the most power metal-y. And that's the aliens fucking up Earth. That's
the aliens just burning everything down with probably lasers.
Yeah, so everything gets fucked up. Tiara is reunited with her family, which is great, but they also kind of get fucked up.
They also die in a fiery, lasery death. Okay.
Then next song, Damnation Below. This is where the aliens kind of start regretting their actions. They start feeling like, oh, shit, we kind of fucked up. Maybe we shouldn't have fucking killed everything. And then they, throughout the end of the album with Procession and Exhale, they sort of realize their mistake and they leave Earth because they're swayed by Tiara's sacrifice and how she influenced humanity and selflessly like went alone to sway them.
Oh, wow.
And then it's sort of, there's like an ambiguous ending. Like someone says that they thought they saw Tiara's hand move, like, oh, maybe she's not dead, but it's left ambiguous.
And then the world exhaled.
And then the world exhaled, and Tommy Karavik with the big fucking note, and it's good shit. I love this album.
that's real nice.
Shit.
So
that's real nice.
First impression, track two, Boom Boom. Is that two or is that track three?
Technically three, because you have the arrival
intro. It's Dream Machines.
Intro.
Okay. Dream Machines, Boom Boom, that'll be fun live. Tommy just says sure. Boom Boom.
Boom Boom.
Can you feel it go boom?
I want to go boom boom with Tommy. That's great.
I think everyone wants to go boom boom with Tommy.
Hey.
Basically, I really love this album. Yeah, I just got into the story, but I loved the music before that. There's so many cool things these guys are doing with the guitars and the keyboards, and especially like the violin at the end of Beyond Today. Oh mm-hmm. my god, such good shit.
I just think that because it's opposite day, and because I like to offer the other side, I think that the vocals are very strong, but usually Seventh Wonder instrumentation is really like bass and guitar driven, and I didn't really hear that much of that in this entire album. Actually,
I'm pretty sure they had a bass solo in there at some point
on the first tracks, like I think the first 3 to 4 tracks
right
up till Victorious, before Victorious you hear all the guitar and bass, and they are doing their proggy thing. But then in Victorious, you change into this more grandiose scheme and maybe not that focused on those instruments.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely a Tommy-emphasized track.
Mm-hmm. Tommy's probably the best part of this album.
It's the only part that I care about, to be honest. The rest is just terrible.
I
think this album has very, very strong melodies. Main melodies.
It does have very strong melodies.
And everything else is just okay. It's being an accessory to it, but in a way that I might not like. I wouldn't recommend this for its guitar work or for its anything else. Maybe, but I just told you, listen to this. Now that I know the story, that makes a lot of sense with what I've heard.
It does make a lot of sense.
For a good concept.
I kind of guessed some of it correctly.
Yeah, same. Maybe not the details of the ending, but the farewell being the three different aspects and not just one thing after the other, that makes a lot of sense to me. And the fact that you said that the first tracks are like setting up the stage, that makes sense to me as well, because they feel a bit disconnected from the rest. Like they are in
it's basically the first three main songs, like set up the aliens, humanity, and then Tiara herself.
Yeah, I think that's...
And then from there, the story gets going.
I think it's a good recommendation to listen to this, actually.
Yeah. The album for me went from like an 8 out of 10 to a 9 out of 10 once I like listened to the lyrics with it.
Oh, so this is...
I'm throwing arbitrary numbers at you.
This is a good album to sit down and listen to while reading the lyrics and doing that.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We should all practice that.
I did that this morning to like be informed for the discussion today.
Wow. Homework.
Yeah.
I take my job seriously.
Oh, we're very professional here.
See, I looked up the lyrics to Good Night and Beyond Today specifically because they're so powerful. Those songs are very moving and powerful.
Yeah. They're very, it's very emotional. Even without looking up the lyrics, it's just the delivery of the vocals.
So like the chorus on Good Night is fucking phenomenal. So good night, but not goodbye. Close your eyes and learn to fly. You can, if you try, be the bravest astronaut this world has ever seen. Come on. That's so sad. Coming from the parents to Tiara.
It's very sad.
They're like, oof. I can't describe
it. Going? Oh.
I can't describe the feeling that it gives me. It gives me the willingness.
I'm going to go out there. I'm going to say Beyond Today, Ballad of the Year.
Easy. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Easy. Oh, you guys, big generalization.
Come at me.
This should be a category. Don't at me, bro.
You know, when we do the like album or the year review in January or whatever, that's totally a thing I'm going to mention.
That's a candidate for big generalization of the year.
There's one thing that I like to point out with the part Farewell Part 2 and Part 3 is that maybe I don't think they'd be as strong without the album. Out of context, it won't have the same impact.
That's true.
Because you have, like I said before, you have those little counter melodies that show up in the backing that are actually like what I assume now it's Tiara's theme and other stuff from before. And the way it hits you is because you have already established a relationship with those motifs, with those melodies, and you know what they represent. So you know what this is happening to this character in relation to this situation. And that's why it hits you so strongly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a very good choice to release. I think they released Tiara's song as a single before. I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
like, yeah,
and I know I wasn't really into it as the single, but with the whole album together, I appreciate it a lot more.
And the fact that that chorus is like the main Tiara's theme that shows up later, I think it was a great move because it made us get familiar with that melody beforehand. So it was all the more powerful by the time we listened to the whole thing.
Yeah, I think at the time we were confused at the single, but it was their plot all along to get us attached to that melody and to the character.
It definitely got Darko attached to the melody.
Yeah, yes, I'm in love with that.
Do you hear it in your dreams?
Powerful, Darko? Powerful karaoke.
What?
Do you hear it in your dreams? Do you dream about Tiara's victory?
No.
Or her defeat.
No, I haven't dreamed.
And the destruction of the world.
I didn't know the story till now first. I just knew that I have been even singing it wrong because I didn't know the lyrics. I just looked them up now.
Oh, like,
just make
cool.
up your
we
own lyrics.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, farewell, Tiara, this is your song. Oh, Tiara, something,
this
something,
song's
sure.
For you. Oh, Tiara.
They rhyme Tiara with Sahara. Something.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
They get real creative with how Tommy says Tiara sometimes.
just roll with it. Just roll with it.
Rhyming's hard.
Yeah. I think it was, it's really good. I really like it. As I said, it was a great Tommy performance. Overall, recommended. It's probably, no one could say that this is a power metal album.
No.
But
prog metal.
We like it so much. That's why we talk about it.
I was going to ask whether like other Seventh Wonder fans, was this worth the wait? But you guys don't really like the rest of Seventh Wonder, do you?
I like it. I just haven't listened to it enough to be super into it. I really like the random song they released a couple years ago. Was it
Inner Enemy?
The maze thing. Was it a maze?
Hey.
It's like the long song from a couple years ago.
The Promise.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, from an album that they killed in like 2014.
Yeah, I really like that song. That was like my first exposure to them. I've listened I'm behind. I listened to Mercy Falls and Great Escape like once each, and I
thought, oh my god. So when you talk about music associations, I think this was like 7-8 plus years ago. I listened to both Great Escape and Mercy Falls like on repeat so many times. I fucking love Mercy Falls. It's the instrumentation on there is way better than this one. So I think this album is like okay to me.
Yeah, like I need to go back.
Do like it a lot for the vocal performance, but as a Seventh Wonder album, like I'm happy, but it's not like peak Seventh Wonder, I guess, whatever that means.
I'll go back and give their other albums some more proper run throughs, if I'm not too busy like playing Red Dead or something. But
that's cool.
That's my take on Tiara. I very much enjoyed it, and I recommend people read it along with the lyrics.
Yeah, it's a cool concept album. Tote's not power metal, so don't get the wrong impression.
The Light of the Funeral Pyres is pretty power metal. That one kicks.
If you like strong vocal performances, because I know power metal fans love good vocalists. This is a good like vocalist album.
This album's way better than The Shadow Theory. Yeah. So.
The what? It doesn't, like, what are you talking about?
I don't know. I've never heard of it. It doesn't exist.
Camelot's last album was Haven. Like,
What's Camelot doing these days? Not writing albums?
I don't know. They're like touring, but I'm not sure what they're playing. Probably Haven. There's like 3 minutes of silence on occasion during their tours. I don't really know what's going on. I mean, it was a good show, but you know.
Damn.
All right. So I think that just about wraps it up for this episode.
Oh, we've got upcoming stuff. I just wanted to.
We're at like a lot of time, but no,
we'll run through it quick.
Let's briefly run through upcoming stuff.
Yeah. So Darkmoor. Why are these out of order? Fuck. Next up, Dire Peril. The Extraterrestrial Compendium, a partnership between our boys Jason Ashcraft and John Yellen, both of whom have been on this very podcast. Their album for their project, all sci-fi based shit, is coming out on November 9th.
Their debut, apparently.
Their debut, yeah, because they've just been fucking around. Yeah, apparently.
I thought they had already had a full release, but I guess it was just EPs.
No,
fucking around. But I guess this is their debut. Called Judicator and Helion Prime.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Check that out, November 9th.
Pre-order it if you didn't already. It'll be good shit.
Check the singles.
It's gonna come out very soon after this episode.
That's true.
Check the singles. They have one of their songs, which was already released on their original EP. They re-recorded it. It's one where Brittany Slays from Unleash the Archers featured because they are all friends and. It's a really
she's on main vocals, and John does some amazing harmonies, and it sounds like it could have been on a track straight off of Brave New World by Iron Maiden. Super good.
Check it out. All right.
What else? Come on. Quick.
Vianity. They've got a new album coming out called Legend of the Starborn on November 27th. Vianity is a pretty cool band. They make nice power metal, and recommend their last album.
Yeah, I just
thought
they made that song that goes... When humanity's gone.
Yeah, that one.
Words.
Yeah, they have a single out. I don't remember the name of it, but it's good. And on reviews, a couple albums that came out recently that we didn't dig into in
depth. No, this is a lot. We're listing and regurgitating. I'm not sure how useful this would be because a lot of this is going to be out already.
Yeah.
I really like Skullfist. I'm not sure if you guys do.
I haven't listened to it.
I love Skullfist. They're like Enforcer Light. It's like heavy metal / speed metal stuff. I haven't listened to it yet because it just came out yesterday and I was busy playing Maple Story.
No big deal. NVD.
But no big deal. NVD. Just leveling up little Hansi. Yeah.
A couple other albums.
What else is coming out?
Two things that came out recently that I'll talk about for like two sentences. Guardians of Time has a new album called Tearing Up the Universe. I thought it was fine. You can check that out. I'd give like a decent out of listenable.
Decent out of meh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Orion's Reign had a new album called Scores of War. This one, they went really hard on like the symphonic side on this one. I actually liked it quite a bit.
Oh, dear God.
I liked it. I did a super quick listen before we did the recording today, and I liked it better than Orion's Reign other stuff. So if you're into like overly symphonic power metal, check out Orion's Reign. And anyway, back to the upcoming album.
Iron Flame had a release at the end of September last month called Tales of Splendor and Sorrow.
I forgot to listen to
that album. Fucking rips. Okay. It is awesome. Check it out.
Cool.
Great guitars, and it just shreds from start to end. So check it out.
I would type it in, but I have like a mechanical keyboard with blue switches, and they're really loud.
You can just mute yourself for 2 seconds.
Oh, this is a lot of coordination. I can't. Okay.
Anyway.
Any other albums that you guys want to plug in like 2 seconds? By the way, this is all going to be in the show notes. You don't have to write this down.
And last one I'll plug, Marius Danielson's Legend of Valley Doom Part 2, the album with a gazillion metal people involved. I don't know how this guy networks all of them, but props to him.
Maybe we'll find out. I hope we find out.
Hmm. Anyway, that album comes out.
I have so many questions for this guy.
November 30th, they have a single called Temple of the Ancient Gods. It's got Daniel Hyman back on power metal.
I didn't even know that guy was still like in music.
He's alive.
He's probably like working at IKEA.
He has a hardcore.
Oh, I thought he just
hard rock.
Oh, they said hardcore.
Sorry, no.
He gave up on singing and just like learned how to do like all the screams.
That'd be really funny to drop out of power metal and
go into
hardcore.
That would be really funny. Go into punk and hardcore. Yeah.
Imagine Fabio is the front man for hardcore band.
Oh my God. You can ask Weird Al to do it.
Oh my God.
That'll be close enough. Right? Right. Okay. So is that all?
That's everything I wanted to talk about.
That's a wrap. We did it. We did it, guys.
Stay tuned for more.
All right. So that just about ends our episode. If you made it this far, we hope you enjoyed it, had a good time. We hope you had a nice commute to work or wherever you're listening to this. And don't forget to follow our shit for other great power metal related content, powerful-podcast.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and stay powerful.
Stay powerful.
Yeah, stay powerful.
Yeah.
Don, you have to say it last.
Stay powerful.
Yeah.
Jingle.